Tonight, I want to explain the outline of our practice. As a monk and as a layman, without understanding of what is practice, it is rather difficult to make actual progress in your practice. And what I will talk about tonight is a kind of universal practice for laymen and monks, both. It could be true for both laymen and priests. We say, or you say, whatever you do, that is practice. To drink tea, or to eat, or to sleep, to walk, or to sit down. Whatever you do, that is practice, we say. But how you know, with what kind of understanding you do things is the important point. Actually, whatever you do, if you do not lose the point, that is true. But if you miss the point, even though you look like doing a proper practice, actually it doesn't work. The point is whether you do it for yourself or for the sake of the truth, or for sake of Buddha, or for sake of people. This point is a very important point. I didn't discuss argue with you, but my way is there many fruits in the basket. My way is to finish the fruit is start with I eat the worst, worst. And you may eat best one first. And why you eat best one first is according to the people who eat best one first. If you eat best one first, always, you will always be best one. The last one, you know, will be also best one. But if we eat the worst one first, you will always eat worst one. Last one is also worst one. Maybe this is very interesting discussion, which will be the best way. let's not discuss let's discuss before we discuss it, we must limit our discussion. I want to discuss which is more appropriate or which is not, which is wasteful or which is appropriate or to best use of fruit. But that is very difficult to know, to discuss, because if we want are discussing this point, we should discuss, we must have discussion each time we have fruit. So let's not discuss in that way. But what I want to say, the point I want to make is to, when you eat, best thing first, it means that you discriminate best one from not so good ones. You choose best one. That is a kind of discrimination. And it means that in your attitude, the idea of self goes first. And then naturally, discrimination will fall. If only one person is eating fruits, there will not be any problem. But if many people are eating, suppose many people are eating from the same basket, that kind, that attitude, if you eat in that way, you will be involved in trouble. On the contrary, if you eat worse one first, there will be no trouble, even though it is many people. Unless you feel you are doing something foolish, you know. Unless you feel you are doing something foolish for yourself. And this attitude of eating worse food means non-discrimination. You may say it is a kind of discrimination, but at least self-centered attitude is not involved in it. So that is not discrimination. We usually say discrimination. In short, the point is, in a practice, whether you develop your idea of self, or you develop Buddha mind in your practice, in your everyday practice, it's different. And point out whether which is Buddha's practice. We should always put the self next, and Buddha mind first. We should always follow Buddha mind. To follow Buddha mind, it is necessary to realize what is Buddha mind. How to realize Buddha mind is our Zazen practice. Zazen practice has two sides. Or two virtues. One is, through practice, you will know. You will eventually, you will intuitively know what is Buddha mind, because your selfish idea, or your small self, more and more becomes smaller. And another side of, another virtue of our practice is you will get accustomed to what you have realized, even though you realize some truth. If you do not accustom to it, and if the realization becomes your own, even though you realize this is right and this is wrong, but intuitively. But it is difficult to actualize your intuition in everyday life. So how to actualize your small enlightenment? Or deep enlightenment to your everyday life is by practice. So more and more you continue our practice, your small self becomes smaller and smaller, and deep self will become more and more. Deep self take over your small self more and more. Just as you eat a fruit from the basket. If you eat all of the basket, that is Buddha. Whether you eat, you start with bad ones or good ones, if you finish everything, there's no problem. Anyway, you have eaten. So in its right sense, it doesn't, if you continue your practice through and through, it is okay. But if you choose bad practice, you have more difficulties, that's all.
it looks like easier to choose, always choose this one. It looks like easy practice. But actually, if you have to continue that practice forever, or until you finish the fruit, you must think which is better. When you eat two or three, it looks like very easy. But when you have to continue to eat through and through until you finish everything, it is not so easy. Anyway, you will attain enlightenment. Like if you eat fruit, continue to eat fruit, you will finish all the fruit. Then, after you finish it, there is no problem. When you finish it, before you finish it, you think, you compare which way will be better, and you will wonder sometimes which way will be better. But if you finish it, what you should do is you will know what you have been doing. And if it was not a good way and difficult way, it was very difficult way, I shouldn't do in this way. Better to do it worst one first, for sake of everyone. That is much easier way. So, enlightenment you will have after you finish fruit. You will be enlightened about what is bad. And on the contrary, the people who eat the worst one first, after you finish it, what you will realize is your enlightenment is over something good, what is good. But when the the enlightenment itself does not differ, is not different. Same enlightenment. When you realize what is bad, and you realize at the same time what is good, when you know what is bad, naturally you know what is good. And if you know what is good, then you will know what is bad. And what will be the way to follow the truth? To follow the truth is something good. And if you do not follow the truth, that is bad. Anyway, what you will realize is about the truth. And you will realize what is the truth. Same thing. Could be same thing. But actually, self-centered practice does not last long. You will have time to give up self-centered practice. If you could continue that kind of bad practice through and through, that is, it means that you are a bodhisattva. You are a bodhisattva. Unless you are a bodhisattva, you cannot continue. So unless you are bodhisattva, or you do not follow Buddhist practice, it is not possible to realize what is true. So, whatever the practice may be, the practice which is self-centered is not Buddhist practice. Buddhist practice is how to reduce self-centered practice. How much you can, you know, develop your Buddha mind is the point. In short, what we should be aware of is the point we should be aware of is to put first principle first and second principle next. And put the big self first and small self next. So, and try to extend the big self always. And that is the point of practice. So, a Buddhist practice is called practice of selflessness, selflessness. Whether you are layman or monk, our practice should not be self-centered practice. And usually, I think, layman who is supposed to be very self-centered, actually is not so selfish. The priests are very selfish. I understand in that way. Generally speaking, it is that material viewpoint, materialistic viewpoint, priests usually are very poor, and their life looks like very unselfish, but from spiritual viewpoint, priests are very selfish. Priests may bring always those and then, so that they, this way, and off it is. And literally, speak about it. Explain it. And if you don't, in that way, even though I do not understand it fully, if I have a book, then you trust it, you trust us. We cling to something, some teaching, and because Buddha said, because Dorian Zenji said, this is right. That is big selfish way. But layman do not do that. Layman may say, I don't know. I don't know which is true. I don't know what to do. They are very honest. But priests are not so honest. And they think as if they know many things, but actually they do not know so much. They know character. They can be spiritual. But actually, they do not understand so much. And they feel as if they have a lot of treasure. And they usually they study treasure. They want to accumulate treasure in their own, in their mind. And they are happy to count the treasure they have. How much book I do? How much understanding I have? But actually, why do they study so much? Is to talk about, or to be proud of the knowledge we have, which have. So, spiritually, usually, priests are more selfish, more self-centered practice, involved in more self-centered practice. But both priests and laymen, the most important point is to develop our Buddha mind instead of small self. We know, it is not so difficult to know what is small self and what is big self. If we know that, you should try hard to develop the big self. That is practice. until you can intuitively choose the right path. We should continue our practice. Right now, I'm talking about actual practice. As a Buddhist. But we have at the same time many Buddhas and teachers who attained enlightenment, who has finished eating everything in the from the basket. They try very hard and they finished eating. Those are the patriots. Some patriots, like the fifth patriot, try to eat something good as a layman for a long, long time and realize that this was not right path. And each offer his path through Buddhist way. Maybe he attained enlightenment when he was a layman. Looks like so. I'm not so sure. It looks like so. But what he realized was this is not the right path. That is enlightenment. And he followed Buddha's way. And after he started to follow Buddha's way, it took many years before he started to preach, to share his enlightenment with people. After he received transmission from the fifth patriot, he escaped from the monastery and and lived with fishermen. And for a long time, no one knows where he had gone. What he was doing at that time was he was trying to digest his enlightenment, or trying to extend his enlightenment to our everyday life, to his everyday life. And he was trying to express his enlightenment in his everyday activities, where he speaks, where he treats things, or where he treats people. it took pretty long time before he could do so. You may wonder why, you know, you are staying at Takahara and practicing Zazen. It is, you know, just, it is to digest the knowledge or experience, Zazen experience, to completely and to extend your realization to your everyday life. The rules we follow is set up so that you can extend the Buddhist way of life in usual everyday life. The way you eat here, the way you recite sutta, is how to extend your realization to your everyday activity. Even though you feel difficult, actually, more and more you digest. and eventually, what you do will help people, even though you do not try to help people. This is a very important point in our practice. When you come to this point, there is no Buddha, there is no layman, there is no priest, there is no teaching. Because you have it, nothing special exists. And you are actually always one with people. One with your friend, one with your Buddha. When you could extend your practice fully in your everyday life. So when we say no Buddha, sometimes Zen Master may say no Buddha, kill Buddha. What does it mean? What it means is to be completely with one with Buddha. He doesn't need Buddha anymore. He himself is Buddha. How you, attain this kind of attainment is through your practice. At first, when you hear Buddhism, it looks like there are many people to observe. There are many rules to follow. There are many Buddhas to worship. It looks like that. But if you worship Buddha according to Buddhist way, more and more you yourself will become Buddha. And you don't need Buddha. You don't feel you need Buddha. Whenever you come to Buddha, naturally you will bow to Buddha without trying to do anything. That is more than worship. Just bow to Buddha. When I was young, I didn't like that. Teachers or monks just bow to this. It looks like without any feet they are doing like this. It looks like very superficial practice. If you do very rigidly, you know, it looks like he is doing with his full speed. But if he does it like this, you know, as if a frog is doing something. You will not see it, but you will not, you think that is very superficial practice, that is just habit. And some people may think, you know, especially young generation, may think that is a kind of progress. But there's, you know, it looks like that, but after long, long time, this kind of practice, you will attain that kind of practice. You will have that kind of practice, quite natural. Usual practice for you. So we have to have eyes to see whether his practice is progressive or sincere good practice, mature good practice. It is not so actually. If you do not have self-scrutiny, it is not difficult to tell with pretty faith. But when you are young, you know, most we hate that kind of scrutiny. And we hate too much, and we have no chance to see which is real practice. We do not see things actually as it is, as a small student may do. That is why sometimes you do not like some form of practice. But the formal practice, so-called formal practice, and mature good practice, between them there is a big difference. You can tell quite easily, because you like, you know, even though you don't like someone who looks like Socrates, but you cannot hate him. You like him anyway, because his practice is pure and mature practice. Even though I understand why you do not like traditional religion, for instance, Christianity, I understand how you feel, but succeeding. You have, if the feeling you have comes from your self-centered, strong self-centered Christian, then you must think more about what you say and how you understand and how you see. So before you say something, even before you feel something, you should think, you reflect on yourself. That is Zazen practice. Your mind should be very clear, so that you can see things as they are. Without practice, if you say something, it may be one-sided view. It may be very self-centered statement, feeling. So always, what we should do is to extend to the mind. Then you find right teacher. So it is anywhere. Important point is to make your mind clear. I think you must have understood outline of our practice. If you have some questions, please ask me. That is very good. That is not the practice I mean. When I was young, my teacher would say, if you do not waste, if you are not wasteful, if you are wasteful, so wasteful, eventually, you will exhaust your body, spiritual body. So you shouldn't be wasteful. if you, you must accumulate body, accumulate body by doing good things, then you will have, eventually, you will have, you will be a good person, a good priest or something. that is a kind of selfish practice, to accumulate wealth. Like you save money. That is selfish practice. And knowing this practice is good, to do something good, something which is different from usual practice, and feel good is actually very selfish practice. We should go beyond that kind of idea of practice, and you should do something good. Unless you continue that kind of practice, you will not realize, you will not have real and selfish practice. It took me almost maybe 6 months to go beyond selfish practice. When I was in dormitory, I would get up 40 minutes before my friend get up and clean the restroom, our restroom, to make them happy actually. But while I'm doing some selfish, I was involved in selfish practice, and I feel very bad, and I almost stopped my practice because I felt very bad, because sometimes head of the school get up, because he was an ordinary, so he goes to the restroom before we get up. So when he get up, when I hear him coming to the restroom, I hide myself. It is a ridiculous practice, you know. I didn't know what I have, what I was doing. You know. Very complicated thing. If I'm doing something right, there's no need to hide myself. If I do not hide myself, I feel as if he may like me or something like that. That is also selfish practice. It is very difficult to escape from selfish practice. Even though you are doing something for the people, still it is not possible to escape from selfish practice. Until you give up your practice and switch over Buddha's practice. Because you do it, you feel selfish practice. But if Buddha did it, then that is not selfish practice. Whether head of the school see me or not, it doesn't matter. I am Buddha. Buddha's practice. Until you have that kind of clear mind, it takes time. Anyway, you cannot have good practice from the beginning. You may ask me how to practice and selfish practice, but I cannot tell you exactly. I cannot help you so much unless you confront with your problem of small self. So anyway, if you try to do something which you feel good, some bad feeling for others, because you are involved in selfish practice, and that is your fault. So you must have big confidence. You must have big determination to do and to start Buddha practice.
Tonight, I want to explain the outline of our practice. As a monk and as a layman, without understanding of what is practice, it is rather difficult to make actual progress in your practice. And what I will talk about tonight is a kind of universal practice for laymen and monks, both. It could be true for both laymen and priests.
We say, or you say, whatever you do, that is practice. To drink tea, or to eat, or to sleep, to walk, or to sit down. Whatever you do, that is practice, we say. But how you know, with what kind of understanding you do things is the important point. Actually, whatever you do, if you do not lose the point, that is true. But if you miss the point, even though you look like doing a proper practice, actually it doesn't work. The point is, whether you do it, you stop it. Anyway, you should go on and on and on until you finish your fruit. You will have time to reflect on what you have been doing and oh, it was good or it is bad. You may say from bottom of your heart. So you depend on another teaching. You should go your own way. Okay. Some other question?
Oh. Is it possible to know when you finish the fruit, or do you just begin?
Possible to?
Is it possible for yourself to know when you finish eating the fruit, or do you just begin the fruit on the process? And very much more fruit.
We say so, you know, one with something, become one with practice. We easily say so, but actually, it is, you can say so, but you should not say, I can do it. You know, I become one with the practice. That is very, mostly, you know, we cannot do that. We will be involved in dualistic feeling anyway. So, when we say one with everything, it is so. From Buddha's viewpoint, it is so. When you have complete enlightenment, it is so. But for us, it is not so, actually. That is why we should follow some path. It is necessary for us to have some guidance, some rules or something. Well, I see it is almost impossible to have clear practice. It is much better to follow some rule rather than to to go your, by your own feeling. If you go by your feet, by your own way or by your own choice, you will be involved in very selfish practice. It doesn't work. But if you are very special person, before you go very far, you realize, oh no, this is not good. But here in America, people who go in his own way will be admired. That is another difficulty we have. But it is very silly of you to do something because people may admire you. It is your practice, not their practice. So you should be very independent. Whatever they may say, you should go your own way. Your own way is, when you, the way you feel good. That is very clear.